All right, the recording is live.
Here we go.
Bookish Buzz, episode 4. This is going to be looking ahead to 2025 and what we have in store for this podcast here, our reading, other goals, and what the year has in store for us.
I'm looking forward to this year.
It feels like it has a different energy about it. You know, 2025, we're at a quarter century. Many of us are going to be entering into our middle life stages. We're going to be hitting our 40s. I'm closer than I want to say I am. So it's going to be an interesting year, an interesting next few years.
I agree. Maybe it's just because we started this podcast. Maybe that's why we have a different energy.
Yeah, we started at the perfect time to go in and get some practice rounds in. And here we are in 2025. We're filming new episodes. We're going to try and stick to a pretty decent schedule of trying to get at least a couple podcasts out every month. I don't think we're ready to go weekly yet, but who knows what looms out on the next 12 months.
I can't wait to see where this goes.
Me too. So let's start by talking about what 2025 is going to mean to us for our reading. Most years, I can't say every year, because a couple years ago when I started reading again, I definitely had a low goal. I started in July and I said, half a year, let me try and do 26 books. And I think that year I got 29. So I was excited. And then next year I was like, let me do 50 books. And I think I got 80. And then last year I set the goal something crazy. I was like, oh, if I can do 80, I can do like 150. And I got like 100. I want to say I had like 180 books or something. Something crazy. I did a lot of reading that year. I don't want to stress myself out. So I'm going to set my goal at 100.
I know you can do that. I can't quite commit to the 100 just yet. Maybe in a year or two, but not yet. I'm going to go for 60 this year.
Okay. I like it.
I said, I think I can add 10 more than last year. I just made 50 right at midnight, but we were good. We're going to try and see if we can add an extra 10 in there this year.
Awesome. So in those 60 or 100 books, I know there's a few on my list that have been coming for a while, and I've just been waiting, anticipating these releases. So let's talk about a couple of the books that we're looking forward to the most in 2025. I'll start actually one that just came out last week, which is Witchcraft for Wayward Girls by Grady Hendrix. I have a love-hate relationship. I don't even want to call it love-hate. I have a all-over-the-place relationship. I read Final Girl Support Group from him, and I didn't love it as much as some of the other Final Girl books that I read. I think it's about which book you find first. I found Riley Sager's Final Girls before I found Stephen Graham Jones' Final Girls, or Grady Hendrix's Final Girl Support Group. So I think the trope had already been done, and I felt like done better. But I know that a lot of people found Grady Hendrix's Final Girl Support Group before they found the other books, and they feel the opposite. They love that book more than they love the others. I gave it a few more tries on a couple other things. How to Sell a Haunted House last year, and I enjoyed that one. It was a good, fun, scary ride. I'm interested to see where he goes with this. I will continue to be excited about his books, even if they continue to burn me or just don't fall in love with them. I think he's still going to be one of those writers where his writing's fun, spooky, and gross, and all the things I love in my horror. I'll continue to put him on my list. All right, you want to go with one?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have one in common. The Night and the Moth, Rachel Gillick. She's the one that wrote One Dark Window and the Two Twisted Crowns duology. That's a good one. I also am looking forward to Onyx Storm, of course. I didn't want to lead with that one, but I am looking forward to Onyx Storm. The Filling Station. Recently, I read The American Queen that I just keep talking about with Vanessa Miller. She has The Filling Station coming up, and it's about Black Wall Street and the Tulsa Massacre and how they rebuilt from that. So I'm looking forward to reading that one. And then I am a big fan of Adrienne Young. Our January book for our book club was her book, and she has A Sea of Unspoken Things coming out within the next few weeks, if it's not out already, but I am looking forward to that one. Did you read Legend Board?
No, it's on my list for this year as well.
Okay, well, the third book actually comes out in March. It's called Oathbound. I am looking forward to that one as well. I haven't read Bloodmark. I do plan on reading that one soon, but I am looking forward to Oathbound. I like how that story is unfolding.
Yeah, that's something I definitely want to get to. I noticed a lot of your books are very dynamic. You've got some fantasy, you've got some historical fiction, and some other pieces here and there. And I looked at all mine, and all of them are the same. They're all dark, horror-related books. There's a couple books coming out by authors that I have loved before that I had been waiting to be blown away again. Guy Become Loathsome by Eric LaRocca. He writes a lot of short fiction, and I talked about him recently. He's written one full-length novel. I believe this is a full-length novel, but usually he writes short story collections. You get four or five really different visceral stories that are body horror. They deal a lot with some of the more gruesome aspects of horror. And then on the other side of that is more poetic horror. S.T. Gibson, she wrote A Dowry of Blood, I talked about in the last episode as one of my top five for last year. She's coming out with Savage Blooms this year, which hopefully will blow me away because I'm reminded of the story Bloom by Delilah S. Dawson, which was my book of 2023. So I'm hoping that one can take its place. And then Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil. V.E. Schwab is coming back to a standalone. I don't believe it's a series, so we're going to get hopefully some Addie LaRue vibes. She's a great storyteller. Her writing is beautiful. I'm really looking forward to see what she can offer us there. And then somebody I haven't read anything from. However, I have a couple of his books that I'll actually talk about in a little bit that I've had for a long time that I'm excited to pick up that are very controversial reads where you either love it or you hate it. And so I'm looking forward to The Staircase in the Woods by Chuck Wendig. If you know anything about me, I have a love for nature and specifically for the woods. We go camping, hiking, all of that connection with nature. And I love the idea of doorways, portals, pathways, all these things that kind of take you to new worlds hidden right in the middle of the woods or in the middle of a city or in the middle of something where it doesn't belong. So I'm excited about that from the title alone. I try to not read into too much of the synopses for books because I don't want to overhype myself up. I don't necessarily want to know what I'm getting into. I'm reading for the vibes, so I'm excited for those books this year.
That's a really good list that you have. I don't know if I can quite get to some of the horror books that you mentioned, but V.E. Schwab is one that I want to read more of their books. And I'm definitely hoping to grab maybe a book one. I know there's a ton of books that she has written, so I do want to grab some of those.
Interestingly enough, I would be excited to hear you read Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil because I just clicked on it and it is historical. And it looks like there's three different timelines, 300 years apart, and they're vampires. It's a vampire fantasy story. I don't want to know anything more, but I see genre tags for fantasy, vampires, LGBT, and horror. I think I might have to challenge you to that, to read that when it comes out here in June.
Sounds good. We can give it a try, as long as it's not too scary, because no, I can't do the too scary stuff.
I think her writing would tampen the horror, that scary aspect to it. I think it will be more atmospheric, where it gives you the vibes. Suspense, but not those outright. I can't say jump scares because it's a book. If you jump scare at a book, you are crazy. But you know, those things that just really unsettle you and kind of shake you, I think it'll be a little more subtle with that.
The cover looks really cool. I just added it to my want to read. So when it does come out, we can definitely give that one a try.
Awesome. All right, let's go on to some of the other things that surround our reading for the year. I'm a horror thriller reader. You read a lot of nonfiction, historical fiction. So what genre do you want to read more of this year? Is it more of what we already read, or is it something that's going to take us out of our comfort zone?
I don't read a whole lot of fantasy. I think I want to add a little bit more, sprinkle it in there. We are going to read Mistborn in March, so I think that will probably kick it off because I do have a few books that I'm looking forward to. For me, I personally want to read more historical fiction this year and more of those literary reads that would be more like a work of art, the actual true storytelling, instead of just reading. The big thing right now is dark romance, and I am just not a fan of that space. I want to get more meaningful reads.
Yeah, I agree. When I think about books that are just entertaining versus books that impart something on you, make you feel something, or they all have a story to tell, but they have a purpose in imparting something with you, making you take something with you that lasts. There's something to be said about those. I only read a handful a year. I used to read a few more. I have some books that will stick with me for the rest of my lives, and I think they are equally literary as much as they are fantasy, magical realism, or whatever genre they fit into that I think you might like. I had mentioned Piranesi before and Starless Sea. I have a couple of those that are on the cusp of literary fiction. And then we actually talked about one that I just picked up, which is Water Moon, which I think falls into a literary category as she inherits a pawn shop where people can sell their regrets. I think just from the setup on that one, you could find something that's literary there that's going to leave a lasting impression on you.
Yeah, I definitely want to aim for more of those artful, more meaningful stories that stick with you. Something where you go back and maybe even possibly reread or maybe annotate or something like that. I think that's where I'm going for this year.
I'm right there with you. I put that down as mine as well, literary fiction, and I want to read more fantasy. I shied away from fantasy for obvious reasons. I think when I started reading again, I was trying to hit my numbers rather than really looking for books that I was looking forward to. And fantasy books tend to be big and they take more time to read, but the reward is so much grander for me. I get to experience a whole new world and magic and peoples and creatures and so much fun. So I'm looking forward to reading more of that and those literary pieces. So we're going to see what comes across the list. I think I've got some backlist titles that fit into both those categories, and there's some new releases coming out. So I'm excited for that.
It sounds like it's going to be a good year just by that recap of what we're looking forward to the year.
All right. Let's talk about some regrets. What did we want to get to last year and we just didn't get time? We're going to start out with a book that we both have on here that we had mentioned maybe trying to get to around Christmas or maybe even this month. We haven't gotten to it yet. Emily even picked it up and I bought the book. That would be When the Moon Hatched. I'm so looking forward to this book. I knew nothing about it other than the fact that it had a beautiful cover and it's got dragons on the cover. I was excited before I found out it was a romantasy, technically, but I'm still here for it.
The romantasy part is kind of making me a bit nervous, but I am looking forward to this. I think the cover is very beautiful. It's stunning with how the dragons are. I know it's got some magic in there. I'm looking forward to this, but as far as when we're going to read this, we got to figure that part out. We keep saying we're going to read it. We're going to have to read it.
It feels like a winter read. I feel like we can get to it maybe next month. I've got some chunkers on my list right now. I have this wonderful shelf that somebody built me at my last job, and I love it, but it's a tabletop shelf right now, and I want to get it on the wall and use it as a TBR shelf where I put just a handful of books, you know, 10 books a month that I'm excited to get about that either I picked up from the library or something that I'm just feeling in the mood to read, and then pick from there as my kind of primary, I'm moving on to the next book kind of choice. I think that could end up there for the next month and we'll see what goes from there.
I think having a TBR shelf is very beneficial. So I encourage you to do that. I currently have rearranged my space to have a bookshelf directly by my desk. Now it's like, okay, I've moved these books down here and these are the books that I want to read in the first quarter of the year. You can go as fast as you want or you can go as slow as you want. Even if you don't reach that goal, I'm going to say, okay, well, I didn't get to it in the first quarter, but it's going to be read at some point because it's right there within reach. And of course, with being mood readers, you kind of just got to go with what you're feeling at the moment. So you got to get that shelf up.
Yes, I will do that. What are you holding over from 2024 that you want to get to?
One thing that I did not get to read was the Children of Blood and Bone, the rest of the series. So the second one, Virtue and Vengeance, and also Anguish and Anarchy. I want to read that series because I know that it is complete. That is one that I do have on there. I keep hearing great things, but Heartless Hunter. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, actually, I just picked it up for Emily while we were at the library going through new releases. And I remember seeing it and it just kind of jumped out at me. So I said, let me grab it for her. And I took it over to her. She was down to check it out too. So it's actually sitting in her bag over here.
That is awesome. I love how we both read some of the similar books. So it's like, I pretty much always have a buddy.
You two are right in line. And then you guys rope me into stuff. So it's perfect.
That's awesome. What other books are you looking forward to reading this year that you didn't get to read?
There was a couple of releases that were sequels that I wanted to get to. One of them is the book you just mentioned. I read the first two books in Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi, and I want to get to that third book. There was something about it that just didn't fit my mood from release on. I've rented it a couple times. I finally did purchase it just because I'm like, I don't know when I want to get to it. I was hoping to get to it sooner, but I didn't. So I'm going to finish that series out this year because I want to finish more series. And then the third book in Shauna McGuire's Middle Game series called Tidal Creatures is out. And I had actually started it because I finished book two right before it came out. I said, you know, I'm just going to go right into book three. I should have known better. I just need to space them out just a little bit, but I've got to be careful not to give too much time or I don't go back. So I'm going to finish out both of those series. Interestingly enough, Emily just picked up a book and she's like, oh, I think this was something you wanted to read at one point. So I grabbed it and it was called God Killer. It came out about, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, 2 years ago. And I actually bought it. So when she got it from the library, I laughed a little bit because we already had it on the shelf. But the sequel came out last year. I started it, and I want to say I'm like a third of the way through, which is useless because I don't remember anything about it. So I'm going to have to start that over and finish it here before the year's over. I could possibly be finishing out two or three series this year, which is exciting for me.
That is very exciting. And we also have another series that we didn't add in there from. Did it come out in 2024? I don't even know if it came out in 2024, but The Priory.
No, it came out, I think, a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. So I'm just late to the party. The second book was last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So the second book was last year.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. I know you want to get to that. And if you can get through that duology, because it's a prequel and then the original book, they're both huge books. And the writing is really like lyrical and poetic. And so I think you're in for a heck of a ride, but it's probably going to end up on your most challenging of the year for next year.
I think it is as well, but hey, I'm down for a challenge, especially when I am seeing the reviews so high. I'm seeing the 4.3 and the 4.5s and stuff through Goodreads, and that usually tells me that it's a good read.
I've seen it quite a few times. I'm not like banging down the doors to get to it. I am a little intimidated by it. That's one of the literary reads that I think is going to be heavy, and yeah, I got to be perfectly in the mood to read that one. But yeah, I'd like to get to it. I don't know if it's a 2025 for me, but maybe if you fall in love with it, you can convince me. All right. So let's move on to, you know, this was 2024, but I've had books on my shelf for the last 5 years that I bought because they were either a great deal or like I'd been hearing a bunch about them and I was so excited to read them. And tell me why they're still sitting on that shelf. So this is going to be books that we've had forever, and we're just determined that 2025 is going to be the year of transformation, and we are going to read these books. I'm going to kick it off with Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin, and really anything by N.K. Jemisin. I've heard world building is incredible in all of her books. I've wanted to do this Broken Earth trilogy for a long time, so much so that I have all three books. And I've gotten 25% through Fifth Season before, but it just wasn't clicking. It was like words were being read, but I wasn't reading them. I wasn't ingesting them. So I got to start over. I'm determined to get to that here in Q1. I want this to be the series that I'm like, it's just like Mistborn. I can't believe I waited so long to read this book. So I'm going to get to Fifth Season this year.
I've heard a lot of good things about Fifth Season. I haven't actually went to read them myself. But I have heard a lot of good things about him. I see it's one of the more popular authors that are out there with the fantasy world. So I don't know, maybe I might get one of those.
I think you would enjoy it because I think there's an element of race to it. And I know we're always very interested in delving into books that deal with race and different things like that. While this isn't traditional races that we deal with in our lives, there are a bunch of different pieces to this story, specifically Fifth Season. And a lot of times it's magic users and non-magic users, or those who have these special gifts and those who don't. And it's usually the people who don't have the magic who oppress the people who do have the magic. And there's something to be said about that. I'm excited, and I think you would like it as well.
Well, you know me. I added it to my want to read, so it's on my TBR. Let's see if I hit on it one of these days.
Sounds good. What do you got?
One that I have, and I keep saying that I'm going to read it, and I just haven't picked it quite back up yet, but A Little Life. I have read bits and pieces of it, and with the way that it starts, it makes you really want to know what's happening, but it just was not the right time for me. It is one of those books where you really need to pay attention to what you're reading, and that is definitely on my list.
One that I have a friend who will hopefully be tuning into this podcast and hear me say, I'm committed to reading Hail Mary this year because I've heard so many good things. And he's saying it's one of his favorite books of all time. And he checks in with me like once a month to see if I've read it. So I am going to get to Project Hail Mary this year. It is a sci-fi story, and sci-fi used to be my jam. But I think if they're like too science heavy, I get a little turned off. I get a little intimidated. It is also a big book, but I think it's going to be one of those that I'm going to say the same thing I'm going to say about all these books. I can't believe I waited this long to read that book.
You know, just looking at the Project Hail Mary, this is actually a cover that I have seen in a lot of different spaces, whether it's Bookstagram or BookTok. It is one that I see quite often, but I didn't know what it was about.
They say it's one of Andy Weir's best books. Now, everybody loves The Martian, and I've seen the movie. I didn't read that book, but they say Project Hail Mary blows The Martian out of the water, so that's why he wanted me to start with that one.
Well, I definitely think you should start with it, because Goodreads says 4.5, and it's pretty heavy on the 5 stars, so I think that'll be a winner for you.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Speaking of winners, I'm going to read Mistborn this year. It's going to happen. In fact, it's going to happen in March. Emily and I are going to do a buddy read for that one, and I'm actually looking forward to it.
I love that this podcast might be 2 co-hosts, but I feel like we rope Emily into so many different things because she's just down for whatever. You said you needed a buddy to read it with that you could talk with and chat with as you guys are getting through on the challenges and the things you like. I've already read it, and I'm always here to chat, but there's something about reading it and experiencing it at the same time as somebody else. So I'm super excited for you guys to be converted, because I don't think he's ever going to be your favorite author, but I think you'll at least be able to say, you know what, that was a really good book.
I see so many people talking about Sanderson in general, like his different novels that he's written. Even when I walk around work, I see people with these huge books, and I just see him everywhere. So he's definitely got to be one that's worth reading. And I'm excited. We're going to tackle this together. I've even seen on Fable now, there are some people picking up Mistborn and they're reading it as a club or a group. And I think that's pretty cool.
Fable, which we'll dive into a little bit more here in a bit, is so cool because we've seen it firsthand. They suggest public book clubs that you might be interested in. I get a couple suggestions a day sometimes, and one of them was the Cosmere in a Year book club, which the Cosmere is Brandon Sanderson's universe of connected novels. I was like, oh, I might need to jump on that book club because they're reading Mistborn Book 2, The Well of Ascension. And so I may or may not have joined another book club. Just if nothing else, to have some people to read that together with and talk about. And maybe there were going to be some things I miss. I know there are some things I miss. So I'm excited. I love that Fable has these open book clubs, and they help you find book clubs that you might be interested in.
And I think that's one thing that's so beautiful about the bookish community. No matter what platform you're on, you're going to find your people. you're going to find exactly what it is that you're looking for, whether they like the book you like or they have the same dislikes. I love it.
It's one of the things that goes beyond race, socioeconomic, anything like that. If you are a reader and you meet another reader that has similar interests, you don't care what they look like. You don't care who they are. You are excited to hear them talk about the things that we both have in common and that we love.
I love it. One that I put on my list was the S.A. Cosby, All the Sinners Bleed.
Yeah, that is one that we went through the library yesterday together, just looking at books and trying to find something to challenge each other. And S.A. Cosby was one that neither of us have read from, and I think is going to be one where we both find books by this author that are going to appeal to our individual interests. I think All the Sinners Bleed has that Southern true crime kind of feel to it that I like in my thrillers and mysteries. I'm super looking forward to that one.
I am looking forward to that one, too. Also, The Parable of the Sower. Octavia E. Butler, Parable of the Sower, and also The Talents. There's two books.
I did not know there was a second book.
Yes, there is a second book. And a lot of people are saying that the second book wraps up a lot of the loose ends that are in the first book. So I am looking forward to tackling that series this year, hopefully within the first quarter of the year.
Awesome. Another book I mentioned earlier is a big, chunky book, and I think I'm going to get to that one before I get to the new release by Chuck Wendig, which is The Book of Accidents. A lot of people say, didn't like it, wasn't for me. A lot of people say, could have been great. And then a lot of people say, 5 stars, rave review. So I'm hoping, I don't want to let the hype train get to me. I don't want to let the negative train get to me either. I want to experience it for myself and just see what I like about it. So I plan on getting to The Book of Accidents this year.
That one sounds like a good one. I don't know if that one's on my radar, but sounds like it'll be a good one.
I'll let you know.
All right. And then my last one, actually, A Court of Wings and Ruin, the third book in the ACOTAR series. I will be reading that one this year as well. Been on my shelf forever, and it's finally time to read that one.
Yeah. I think that one you're going to love. Emily loves that one. I think that's her favorite book.
Oh, then I'm definitely looking forward to it because everybody hyped up book two. And I'm like, you know, this is okay. But I'm hearing a lot more about book three.
So that's enough about books right now. Let's talk about this podcast and our book club as a whole, as an organization going forward.
Oh, that just sounds so exciting.
It is. So we recently had some momentum, and I think I remember we were getting messages on Fable from some folks. That's where we host our book club, Who Needs Reads. And I'm texting you like, hey, do you know who this person is? Or do you know who this person is? And you go, oh, no, I thought you knew them. We realized it's because we opened up the book club publicly. It was a suggestion to people, hey, this book club, Who Needs Reads, is about to start reading Spells for Forgetting by Adrienne Young. And people were like, oh, I want to read that book, jumping in the book club. We had a ton of new members, and the interaction has been incredible. The energy is top notch. I'm so energized for 2025 with our book club. And it's giving us more listeners. It's giving more feedback on our podcast. So I'm excited all around for what comes next.
I definitely agree. It feels like it just happened all of a sudden. And it was just by us picking that book. You know, we have picked other books, but I think it helped us stand out because not many people were going towards Adrienne Young with Spells for Forgetting. Everyone is in this book talk era where they're reading all the books that are hyped up. And if we pick up these books that are not so hyped, I really feel like it's going to get us out there and try some of these different books together and experience them. I'm just really happy to see how the book club has grown. My favorite part, it's free. I see so many book clubs now that are charging, and nothing against it, but the book club itself should always stay free because it's just a bunch of people that love to read that are together and doing something they love together. I like to just put that out there.
Yeah, Fable, you know, there are some things you can do with Fable, like purchase interactive books, but Fable is free. Our book club will remain free for the indefinite future. We have no plans to switch to Patreon and start charging to be part of our membership or anything like that. Who Needs Reads will remain free on Fable no matter what. We might open a second book club at some point, but that's not in the works right now. We are focusing our energy on this book club and this podcast here. And the Discord channel for members of the book club is always open. I post my book reviews in there every couple days I finish a book. I want to see more people posting their reviews in there because I love it. I see it on Fable, but I want you to shove it in my face in Discord so that I can be like, oh, I know, you know, Ashley loved this book, or Emily loved this book, or Faye loved this book, or Reed loved this book, or hated this book. I want all the discussions.
And see, I think I need to read more books because I have been reading very slow. So I've actually only completed one book so far for this year, which was Spells for Forgetting. But I was like, I can't just put my rating in there because that's the one for the book club. So I'm like, I can't put anything in there yet.
I know. I'm really sneaky like that. That's why I always wait to read the book, because I don't want to be sitting on this and not being able to share my rating or my review until we do the live show, because we do live shows after every book. And we are going to be, this is what I'm really excited about, we're going to be doing some reading sprints. Yeah. In those sprints, you can just join us on YouTube, on StreamYard. Hopefully soon we'll be on like IG Live and TikTok Live if we can keep it alive. You know, at some point we're going to branch out there, but just to hang out, and you don't have to read the book club book. You can read whatever. You can just come hang out. I know I've done that during the reading sprints. I go cook, clean up, or just do something productive. Then when they come back, we're chatting together and I love it. I always love reading sprints. So we're going to try and do those a couple times a month and then see how everybody is reacting to these things and then branch out where we do there. Maybe we do movie nights or game nights or whatever, just to build our communities here together.
That just makes me even more excited. Like the live sprint, I know for me, the only time that I really was a part of the live sprints was when I would follow somebody on Book Talk or something that I really liked. And I would find myself actually not reading the book. I was there for the music and the vibe, just the atmosphere that was set. And I think that is so magical how you can actually create this atmosphere virtually. Like I've experienced it in person, but to actually do that virtually is amazing. So I am looking forward to bringing that to our new bookish community. I guess that is the best way to put it for our, what did I say, our bookish bestie? Is that what we call it?
I like that.
That's what I've been saying. It's like our bookish besties. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Stay tuned on our socials for more information about that. We'll be linking to it. Maybe the first sprints here around the end of the month. We're going to plan for that. And it'll probably be later in the evening because we're parents and career-minded folks. We have things to get done, but we'll set aside some time in the evening, pop on here for a couple hours, and let's be productive together, folks. I know we've got some people all over the country, maybe one day all over the world, so different time zones, different things. But if you can join in and feed off our energy, let's hang out. Let's do this.
Exciting.
So let's talk about some more fun stuff here that's going to bring some great content to the podcast and expand our reading here with our quarterly book challenges. I didn't want to do monthly book challenges. I think it's a bit too much for us as mood readers to plan out.
Yes.
But we both have plans to do some very specific reading this year. I think we both agree we want to read more classics. And you've got Parable of the Sower. That's a classic. And I want to read Go Tell It on the Mountain next month from James Baldwin. So getting to a classic every quarter, get four classics out a year at minimum would be awesome.
I think that's actually very doable. Sometimes we set these super high expectations and it's like, well, I want to read more classics. But by us saying that we're going to do this quarterly, it gives us the, okay, we're going to read this classic together, or maybe you read a different classic than I'm reading, but we're still tackling that.
Absolutely. So next would be, you read a lot of nonfiction, and I own a lot of nonfiction that I just haven't gotten to. I think when you invited me to our first book club that I believe was on book clubs, which was just, it just didn't work out for us. It was too difficult to navigate. I believe the book you were reading at first was Atomic Habits, which I own and want to read. However, I just haven't had the time or energy to invest in something like that. But I have a bunch of nonfiction that I want to get to. And by putting it down as a quarterly challenge, quarterly goal to read a nonfiction a quarter, I think that makes it doable.
It's absolutely doable. Atomic Habits, I believe, is actually one of the number one nonfiction books. I could be wrong, but I feel like it's one of the number one nonfiction books that are on the charts because just how well James Clear has done with writing this book. I don't read it every year, but I do read it every other year. I sprinkle it in because I talked about it in episode 3. I feel it is very important for us to grow personally, professionally, within our relationships. I feel that is very important. It's a very passionate place for me. And I have some nonfiction books that I'm actually going to make sure I push over your way to help you meet this part of the challenge.
Well, we might be able to kill two birds with one stone then, because our third challenge quarterly will be our buddy challenge, where we challenge each other to read a book that we wouldn't normally pick up.
I wouldn't say normally. For me, it's a book that I would not pick up.
Fair. We already kicked this off as we walked around yesterday in the library together, and I regretted it instantly, but you picked up a book for me, and I'll let you talk to that. I want to know why you picked this book for me specifically.
Well, the reason why I picked this book, it's Untethered by Angela Jackson Brown, and I do believe that it was actually recently released in 2024. I know for you, you really are not very interested in reading historical fiction. And for me, I've loved reading historical fiction, especially African-American historical fiction. I believe there is great world of, I don't want to say just stories, because yeah, they are stories, but it's history. And especially with us being from Oberlin, it is very near and dear to my heart. And it has always been near and dear to my heart. But this book is, and I can actually read the synopsis real quick just to see if anybody else would like to do the buddy read with us. But it talks about sometimes family is found in the most unlikely of places. In the small college town of Troy, Alabama, amidst the backdrop of 1967, Katia lives a life steeped in responsibility. That sounds like us, right? At the Pike County Group Home for Negro Boys, she pours her heart into nurturing the young lives under her care, harboring a longing for children of her own. Katia's romantic entanglement with an older man brings comfort, but also stirs questions about the path that she's chosen. And without even going further into that, she deals with the loss of her father to cancer. It is going to be an experience for both of us with having the storytelling, but also how women are torn between their demands of their heart and responsibilities. So I am looking forward to it. I think it is definitely going to be a huge challenge for you, especially being that it's not something you would normally read.
Yes, it isn't something that I would normally read. And I may have cursed your name when you picked it out for me, but it isn't something that's so far outside of my reading zone that I won't connect with it. So I definitely want to check it out. I've got it from the library. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see where it takes it. Now, I did read a little bit more on Angela Jackson Brown and some of the impactful writing, some of the other impactful novels and poetry that she has done. And I am much more energized, much more excited to read what she has in store here. So looking forward to that one.
And I mean, we had to. There were two copies of the book. One for me, one for you, both at the library. We didn't have to spend any money on it. It was just meant to be.
Perfect. And I was going around going, how can I repay this act of betrayal? And I ended up, you know, I was thinking, oh, I have a couple horror books. I was really thinking like, hey, I haven't read a few books that maybe, you know, Witchcraft for Wayward Girls might be something that I want to have you experience. But I also don't want to give you a book that I don't think you're going to enjoy just for the sake of it. We went over to the sci-fi fantasy section and you pointed out, here's this series. And you pointed down to Ninth House. Mm-hmm. And I said, there it is, because I love Ninth House. I think Leigh Bardugo has done such a great job in making a dark academia that isn't hard to follow necessarily, has an incredible set of characters. Galaxy Stern is going to be one of your favorite characters. She's written so well. She is spunky and full of personality. There is a little bit of romance. I use that really lightly. The second book definitely has some spice to it, but not a lot. There is a scene that isn't actually a spicy scene in that way, but it is descriptive in a way. If you know, you know. It's not going to be overtaken. It's more of a mystery, magic, secret societies, dark academia, everything that I love in a good book like that. And I think, oh, I want to convert you to a fan for this series. And I believe there's going to be a third book coming out relatively soon. I don't know if this year or next year, but I'm waiting for that third book.
By surprise, I actually had this on my TBR sometime last year just by browsing Bookstagram, and I added it around like the spooky season time, I guess, like that September, October space. I remember adding it, but I did not get to it. And then also for our book club, we started around that time as well, too. And I do believe I put Ninth House in one of our polls, but I don't
think it was. I think you did it for the first poll. Mm-hmm. It did not win. I didn't vote for it because I had already read it.
I do remember that because we were trying to figure out which one we were going to read. So I'm actually looking forward to reading this, especially with the Secret Society. That's also kind of reminding me of Legendborn in that space. And I had also read Gothicana last year. Gothicana didn't necessarily have a secret society to it, but it did have that dark academia feel. So I do like that setting, and I am actually looking forward to Ninth House.
Awesome. I'm excited for these challenges to come around every quarter. We'll keep track and we'll update you all at the end of the quarter to say, hey, we followed through. We read this or we read that and we loved it, hated it, or whatnot. So looking forward to that.
Well, I will tell you, for me personally, Untethered, I'm actually planning to read that in February. I don't know if that means you got to pick up yours sooner, but I'll be reading mine in February.
Yeah, I will pick it up when I've got a couple books ahead of it, and then I'm going to hit a Sanderson novel. So it'll probably be February for me as well. I think it fits with Black History Month and a lot of the themes around this book centering around a historical Black setting. So I think that'd be a good time to read that.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So let's close out the show by talking about some current events that have been going on that got me to thinking about what a social community is for bookish people. We've talked about Fable a lot, and I know a lot of people have plans this year to walk away from Goodreads, which obviously is the leader in bookish reviews and bookish content. It's a huge tool for the community and for authors and people that rely upon it. However, it is owned by Amazon, and with the culture in America here right now, many people are trying to move away from Amazon products and services. So that's a tough pill to swallow, but I wanted to say that's not the only tool out there. And let's talk about some of the things that we use these tools for and what we're looking for out of them.
I think that is a great place to start. And I will just say that I have really grown very close to Fable. That's where our book club is hosted. I really like the space of Fable. Goodreads, I did step away from last year just because it wasn't intentional. I got introduced to Fable and it looked prettier. It was more user-friendly. So that's where I was. What about you?
Yeah, I use Goodreads a lot, but that's because it was kind of the only tool out there and that's where I started. But Goodreads has not had a UI adjustment in decades, and it shows. They've had little tweaks here and there, and I know they're doing some stuff with the reading challenges this year, which is directly stealing from their Kindle stuff. Again, Amazon and Amazon. I'm excited for that aspect of it, so I'll probably continue to use Goodreads. However, I agree. Fable as a tool is just so much better in the way that it functions. There's a social aspect to it that blows any other tool that I have found out of the water. My reviews get seen by a lot of people. I've connected with people because they like my reviews. I like their reviews. Then there's the communities on the book clubs. It's really, I think, one of the best book community tools out there to actually connect socially with other readers.
I agree. And that's something that I've also found with growing the community, and not just the book club community, but, you know, the people that, again, I will say, you find your people. And I think that also helps because with Fable, it not only recommends the books that you have already read, and it like ties in the other people with their reviews to the books that they've read and the book clubs. I really just like that space. With recent events where there was the incident where the AI was saying some things that it shouldn't have said, and some of the things were offensive, I think that ran a lot of people away from Fable. I did notice that they took the AI away, and I kind of liked the stuff that the AI gave me because it was entertaining. I read so much stuff, so I did like that. Is Fable still a great place to be? I think it is because AI is brand new. I don't think we should punish something that is so great because of something that happened. Did you hear about that? What's your thoughts on that?
I didn't know anything about it. However, I did enjoy the AI little, I don't want to call it like a personality assignment that they gave out based on your reading. I really enjoyed that. And I actually didn't know they took it away. I was looking for it the other day and I was like, oh, it's not here. It's not something you seek out. It's just something that kind of came with it. And yeah, I agree. AI is experimental, and I'd like to see some more stuff like that come from AI rather than, I don't want to see it used in the formation or creation of art, but I do want to see it to enhance our experiences in things, in art, in other aspects of our lives. But that's a whole other can of worms I don't want to get into too much. But it got me thinking. We'll say this, we shouldn't punish Fable for a small hiccup any less, but there are bigger fish to fry. Amazon, they have some very questionable practices. And of course, they are an extremely large company that is going to burn a few bridges along the way. I understand why people are jumping from Amazon products and services. However, that's a big challenge for many people because of the convenience factor. Fable is convenient in that this is our hobby. And we want to make the most of it. Fable offers a lot of tools that help in that. If Fable offended you and you don't want to go there, I respect it. If Amazon is offending you, Fable has a great platform that I think could be conducive, depending on what you want out of your bookish social app. So let's talk about what we want out of our bookish apps.
I think that ties right into what I was just getting ready to ask you. For me, Fable was the most interactive. It made it so that everyone could communicate and reach out to each other. One thing that I have found with the StoryGraph app, and yes, it is a learning curve, but with the StoryGraph app, it doesn't seem very community. It seems more independent. And if you don't have somebody else's username, I don't actually see a news thread on here.
No, I think StoryGraph, and this kind of falls into a few different things. I think Goodreads, Fable, and StoryGraph are great ways to talk about the different aspects that an app can offer. And I would say that Fable is very social. StoryGraph is very analytical. They are really good about giving you insights into your reading. That's why it's in the name. StoryGraph is very much about your stats and about your reading experience in terms of numbers and other analytical data, which is really cool. However, it's just not easy to get around. I don't feel that there's any real community to it. Then you have Goodreads, which is right in the middle where it has a little bit of that analytical piece. You get a little social, but it's really just too limited to be either of those. So it's a good middle ground. And if you want to use multiple tools, I respect that. Those are the three kind of categories for these apps that I think come into play a lot with readers and their tastes.
And see, one thing that I also think of when it comes to these different apps is that they all have their strengths. For me, if I'm looking for book recommendations or like the book list or like anticipated reads, I tend to use more so Goodreads because they have those lists and they also give you the dates on when those are coming back. Whereas Fable is, well, what are you reading? Or what's the next book? Or, you know, it kind of gives you that more community feel. And then Storygraph, like you said, Statty Stats, getting your data, those kind of things. So we become more analytical to what we are reading, but not everybody wants to see that stuff.
Yeah, I wish we could get some of that from some of the other tools like Goodreads or Fable. And I think that's where I was excited about the AI tool in Fable, because I felt like it had the ability to analyze my reading and maybe give me better recommendations, connect me with better book clubs or people to chat and learn and get more recommendations. Because that's what I use these apps for, is recommendations and to do book club discussions and post my reviews. I am a big reviewer. I like to write reviews about my experience reading a book so that other people can go on there and hopefully decide whether to pick it up or whether not to pick it up. So what I like might not be for you and vice versa. But if you are already interested in it, maybe my review is going to help solidify your decision. I enjoy doing that in my apps. But also, there's an aspect of keeping track of what we're doing in a year so that we can reflect on it and look back on it at the end of the year or years to come. So book tracking is such an important part of it. And that's one aspect I struggle with on Fable. Fable does not have a website, and I like to type up my reviews. I type up my reviews on Goodreads, and then I go on my phone into Goodreads and I copy and paste it into the app on Fable. And I hate that I can't share directly from one to the other, which makes sense, but it's just a little bit more of a hassle that I wish I didn't have to go through. I'd like to use Fable for everything, but that's holding me back.
Now, I feel like there is a Fable website, but I don't know if it has the same functionality as the app.
You can view books and do all that. But if you want to write a review or look at your lists, you can see the list and add a book to it, but you can't write a review or add a rating.
Oh, now that's interesting. That part I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. And see, I was actually writing my reviews. The reason why I started doing them was because of Fable. And I liked the different options that you can select, like the different tags that you add with it. Because I'd use my phone more than my computer, I would just type on my phone, add my review to this book club or share it so that it's public, and then I copy and paste it and move it over to our socials like Facebook or Instagram, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like it. It's just missing that piece, because if I have to type on my phone, I got these big old thumbs and just not for me. I need to be able to type on my keyboard to be able to get my thoughts down as quickly as they're coming in my mind. It's lacking there. Whereas Goodreads, I can pop on, go add these quickly to different lists, add different tags that are going to help me keep track of the different pieces of my reading. And then I can write my review. Now, I will say I'd like a half star option. And I think they even have quarter stars on
Fable.
Yeah,
they have quarter stars.
They do whole stars on Goodreads. I need these two to blend somehow. I need access to a website where I can go in and type my reviews for Fable.
That would be awesome to have something that just did all of the things in one and that they integrated all into each other so it become more friendly. It shouldn't be this difficult to get some of the stuff that we want out there.
We've talked about this. There are many ways to track your reading. I want to write down as I'm reading little notes on how I was feeling or things I thought about, but I don't want to do a paper journal because then I need to transfer that to a digital format. But I also don't want to have to pull out an app and use a notes thing every single time I'm going to want to take a note on something I'm reading. I listen a lot to my audiobooks. It's not easy to just, you know, I got to stop, jot down something, and it's just not cohesive. I want to find a good way to go about doing this. And what I found with the last couple books I read is I have these 5x8 notepads that are really thin. They're just meant to take notes. And I've been taking notes and using those as a bookmark. So I'll write down on this page all the thoughts. And then, you know, it's easy because I'm using it as a bookmark if I'm physically reading my book. I write notes as I'm going and then I put it in the book wherever I finish. So then at the end of the book, I can go back and read through those short notes and write my review. That's worked really well for my physical reading, but it doesn't solve the problem of my audiobooks.
You know, one thing that I have found that I have really started to enjoy was having a digital book journal. I am very big with using my iPad And I was able to find a digital book journal through Etsy. And I think I paid maybe $2 or $3 for it. I have the Goodreads app on my iPad, and it allows you to add that book in there and put your notes or how you may feel or something in that. And I really found that I like keeping track of my reads that way, because it does give it a different feel instead of just putting in the app that I read this book or I'm going to read this book. It kind of lets you plan. It even has different challenges in it. So if you want to do the alphabet challenge or 50 books, or I think it's like 52 books or like a book a week, whatever it is, there's all kinds of different things in there. It really makes the reading more diverse. If I need to read a book that starts with the letter A and I don't have any books with the letter A, it's going to prompt me to go and look for something in that space. You should probably look into maybe doing a digital book journal.
Yeah, I would love to. Could you send me a link to that? I want to check it out. I am feeling like digital is the way to go. I want to have more impactful reading. We've even talked about maybe trying to do more annotations on some of our bigger or more important reads of the year. I obviously don't need to annotate all my cozy reads, but there are some that I want to pay more attention to and give more energy to. I feel that a digital journal might be the best way to go about it. I want to find something that works for me that's easy, and I need to experiment this year to determine what works for me, but that sounds interesting.
I'm definitely going to send you the link, because it has different tabs and they're all interactive. So you have your bookshelf to track your goals, the books you read, and even your reflection for that month. I really think you would like this. I'll send you the link so you can take a look. This might be the way to go for you to track some of those reads.
That's really exciting.
Absolutely. It makes me excited even more. It's like, ooh, trying new things.
I think it would help my reviews be more impactful as well. I read so many wonderful books that I think have great quotes and other things. And I want to be able to, I don't have a memory like that where people pick up and they're like, oh, this quote, and they, you know, just spout it off from a book. I'm not like that. So I do want to be able to track more quotes and more things like that, and really just take some of these pieces out of the readings that I'm doing and carry them with me. So annotations, digital journals, whatever helps out. I'm here for all the things.
This was a pretty good thing to talk about for the beginning of the year. I can't wait to see you with a digital book journal. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll mention it in the next episode, how it's going for me, and we'll go from there. I think that's going to do it for us today.
We talked about a lot. I think today we're pretty good.
Yeah, I always enjoy our time to sit down and talk about books. It's an important part of our lives. We feel it's important to read and share that with our community and fellow-minded people. I love that everybody's tuning in. I love filming these and recording these for everybody. So I cannot wait for the next one.
We're already planning the next one, so it'll be there soon.
This year is going to be more consistent, and we've got some great content planned, some great discussions planned. If you have any ideas that you want to share with us, please leave it in the comments, because we want more ideas to share with you all.
Absolutely.
All right. Until next time, we will see you later.
Happy reading.